Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am.
Sofa King. No, not so fast.
So.
Loses meaning.
I am. Sofa King.
With retard. You say funny things.
Testicles, 1, 2, 3. Testicles, 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Testes. Testicles. Testicles.
So,
that's what I'm doing.
Aaron Enchiladovich, this whiskey, however the fuck you say that.
So good.
It is really good. I'm torn.
Brie Gladich, the classic lady.
Like when Scottish I drink Pendleton, Barton. I think that's my favorite. And then I drink the Blanton's. I'm like, damn, maybe that's my favorite. But then I drink this. I was like, fuck. This might be my favorite.
That's why I don't know why anybody listens to Brent.
Every time I open the bottle. When I open the bottle, I just never know until I open it.
But that is good. The classic Laddie, it's in the blue bottle. If you see it and you like an unpeated Isle Scotch whiskey, this is the shit.
Did you see someone made a thing about your rental car? I can't think who made it right now. No. It was a picture of a goose, and then it was me popping in from the side like...
The same picture. I did see that.
It's like, a,
same
yeah, picture it's always my jiu-jitsu uses, picture. Yeah. So I'm popping in from the side and I said, quick, ump the door and schmaltz on the steering wheel. And then there's a goose waiting to schmaltz on the steering wheel. I can't remember. I feel bad. I'll never find it. It's in the group.
I'll look for it in the group. That's pretty awesome.
That's it for the show today. Hope you guys enjoyed. Hope you learned something and laughed. That's pretty much it.
I have a favor to ask of our listeners.
Ooh.
So I have the Samsung Galaxy. I've got the Galaxy S8. I got it when it came out. Love it. It's my favorite cell phone I've ever had. I really do like the phone. Except there's
low
this
standards.
Fucking program called Bixby. That's kind of like Siri or one of those
Dixby?
Things. Bixby mm-hmm. with a B, like Bill Bixby, who played the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
It's Dick Bixby. So the problem is I know of no way to fully deactivate Bixby because it's a fucking pain in the ass. The only thing I don't like about the phone. So I'm asking if any of you know how to fully kill Bixby off of your phone.
You probably have to root it or
send
something.
Send me a message on Instagram.
Is that specific to your model? I've never heard of that in my life.
It's the new, it'll be on every Samsung coming up. It's got its own fucking button dedicated to it.
Yeah, it's a side-loaded app. The Dick Picks Me.
Yeah.
That's what
it's like.
Uninstall it, Dave.
It's like a.
Nah, they put a bunch of weird shit.
It's tied into everything. And it's like, I can see where some people might actually like it because, like, the idea is whatever apps you use the most often, it previews. So if you go to Facebook, there'll be a couple Facebook things that pop up. And if you check the weather all the time, it knows that and it pops up and you see the, like, I can see that it would be cool for some people. For me, it's a huge pain in the balls and I can't stand it and I want it off my phone. So if anybody knows how to kill Bixby, not Bill Bixby.
What do you have?
What's up? 7 Edge.
You have a 7? And you have an 8?
I don't
have
Dick Bixby. I have to do my Dick Pics manually.
That's why I don't want a new phone. Mine works perfect. Note 5 for the win.
Yeah, I broke the camera. Other than that, this has been a pretty good phone so far.
So that is my...
Mine hasn't caught on fire. It's doing good.
No, mine didn't. I'm waiting for mine to catch fire. It's a brand new one, so who knows?
Yeah.
Yours caught fire, didn't it? Yours was a caught fire.
I had the exploding
phone. You had to
phone,
take it back.
And then I returned it, and then they recalled the recall. It was
that phone,
a huge pain.
They put too much Blue Thunder in that phone.
They did.
Blue Thunder lithium technology.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about our new shirts?
We do have shirts. So let me forget. El Yucateco. Let me do that real quick because I'm going to forget.
Got it.
We had to pick a winner, and I tried to show Dave all the pictures, but he couldn't get further than Terry Presley. And the funnier story, though, I was at like a barbecue last night, and I showed my friend who was my old partner at the computer shop. So he's familiar with computers and the insides of them and Photoshop. And he was just...
The innards.
Yeah, he was like, that's the worst Photoshop I've ever seen. That sticker's not there. That bottle looks cartoony. And so we were arguing back and forth, and I was like, I don't know. That doesn't look like bad Photoshop to me. Like, I'll be honest, I don't even think it's Photoshop. Like, I'm looking at that tube. It looks like there's hot sauce in that tube. So basically,
explain what the thing is.
That's where I'm going. So Terry Presley made, if you're a computer nerd, there's something called liquid cooling. And usually there's just a unseen reservoir, like a sealed system where cool colored water can go through. And instead of just using a traditional fan and heat sink with like a copper heat sink, it's liquid cooled. I fucking hate it. And when people come in, I talk them out of it and I put a regular fan back on their machine because fucking a ton of times.
Water and a computer system.
It's just not a good idea. And people are going to argue with me and whatever, but I'll just tell you, I have people come in and they're like, my computer keeps shutting off, and I get rid of their liquid cooling and it quits shutting off due to thermal events.
Right.
It just, I don't know. It's just not a good idea. It's stupid. And most people don't need it. You're driving a fucking Ferrari to the grocery store.
Terry, you're stupid.
Honda Civic.
But anyway.
So, and this must be an old computer that he sacrificed for this, because I said, I'll settle the Photoshop debate right now. I'll just message this guy and he'll tell me what's up. I said, hey, how much of that's Photoshopped? And he sent me a video of him maniacally like looking to the camera and real video of it working. So he really took a bottle of El Yucateco and shoved a fucking liquid cool like tube into it. So and it has hot sauce flowing through his CPU cooler with a fucking pump, Red Teco. So congratulations. I'll have to try to remember what I gave you last time because I think you won before, but I got some t-shirts from El Yucateco and stuff up there. So congratulations to Terry Presley. He's our hot sack winner of the week.
I want to know like how long the computer will keep running.
I think that was a scrap computer because it did not look like a recirculating system. I think it sucked up taco sauce or hot sauce and it was fucking over. Like, I think it filled the tubes with red and then the bottle was empty. I don't think it was recirculating. I think it was one shot and not for, I think it was for looks. But he might send a video.
I'm just wondering if the capsaicin is like eroding rare earth metals and making.
Yeah, and it's a plastic tube. The heat sink that it flows through is aluminum. So
should be fine.
A little fan system. Yeah, I don't think it's fine, but I think there's probably some nibbly bits inside the little tiny fins of the radiator. I don't know if it's going to be okay. I think it was for show, but solid effort. And thank you to everyone that shared and posted a picture, but that was hard to compete with.
Yeah. The rest of you sucked pretty much.
We'll have to knock Terry Presley back off his throne for a little while because he can only win so often.
He loves those hot sacks.
Yeah, he does.
He does love a hot sack.
All over his face. He fucking loves it.
He likes to fondle them. Yep. He likes to...
Speaking of hot sack, it's fucking hot in here.
When he gets that package right in front of his face... Yeah, when he gets the package in front of his face, he's excited. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's so
when the mailman's package when he shows up with the short shorts, just dangling.
So new shirt.
Oh yeah, new shirt. So shirt. We did release our new UFO shirt, which was by Cess. I'm gonna butcher last name.
Alvarado.
It's not Alvarado.
Avocado.
I'm going with avocado. She'll fucking hate us for that. But one of our fans actually designed that. She has a clothing company called Elixir Clothing. You can find her on Facebook. I think there's an Instagram for it as well. But she's in the group and her name is Cess, C-E-C. And she designed our newest UFO shirt. And so we're doing something different on this one. It's a limited thing because we didn't design it. It's a short run. We're only making them if someone orders them. So if you don't get it by the 9th, which is this Friday, you just don't get it. We're not going to make it again. You can't hit me up and be like, hey, bro, I didn't see it. I just got my paycheck. Sorry. You get the next round. We're going to do some other cool designs and we're going to try to keep that same model. So if there are fans that have ideas for artwork, we're open to that. Contact us.
Or if you're an artist.
The design.
Yeah. You want to do something.
Yeah. If we pick
it. If it sucks, though, we're not doing it.
Yeah. I'm talking to you, Hilgenfeld.
Yeah. We get some Modegrass Tyson or something. If someone has a good idea, send it to us. And if we pick it, obviously we'll send some shirts and whatnot.
And then go in queue. Yeah, we'll just start releasing limited shirts. You'll be the only few that have them, however many people.
The response has been great. Like there's pages of orders. Like I've never seen that many orders in the box. So, but the end date is Friday the 8th at 11:59 p.m. U.S. Pacific Standard Time.
So when the Friday episode drops...
You have time on Friday.
Clock is ticking.
You got Friday. Yeah, you have Friday.
And I put it on Twitter. It's on our Instagram. It's on Facebook. I boosted the post. It's going to you and your friends. Mm-hmm. So there's no excuse. We've said it. We said it then. It's live. Got to get it when you can get it. So Right. If you miss it, you're bad.
Speaking of getting it when you can get it, we're talking about flat earth.
Yeah.
Segways are better than a mall cop, sir. I love them.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. That was professional. I tried to be as professional as
that
I
was
can.
That was especially smooth. That was an especially smooth one.
See, if it sucks so bad, but you sound confident doing it.
Yeah.
I mean,
got to own it.
Yeah.
No, that's the key.
Because then when you hear it, you just think you don't get it.
Right.
Right.
You're like, oh, what did I miss? Yeah.
I don't understand.
That must have been a smooth transition because it was Brad.
So. Yeah. So anyway. What were we talking about?
This got awkward. Went from smooth to
we were talking
smooth.
About smooth transitions.
Oh, yeah.
Like nice and flat and smooth.
There you go.
There you go. So I don't know where you guys stand on flat earth or where the people, but most of the world laughs at the flat earthers, but we had to see what the fuck is going on with this. Do. I had looked at it before because you can't research conspiracies and you end up on like hollow
earth, it's a
Nazis
big one
on the moon, you know, no,
flat earth is a big conspiracy that's out there. And a lot of people have asked us to do the flat earth conspiracy. So I plan on this episode to do my best to just kind of talk about what the facts are that the flat earthers say and not necessarily weigh in on my final judgment until
I was on a roller coaster because at one point in a previous episode you had like quoted that there was an author that wrote a story or something. Do you still have that info?
I still have that info. I think I might have misquoted it in the first case, but what I quoted earlier is that Washington Irving, who wrote The History of New York by Dietrich Knickerbocker, which is a book that most people have never heard of, but was a massive book. It came out in 1809. The reason the New York Knicks are called the Knickerbockers is because of this book.
And I'll say you changed my brain. Like by saying that, I was like, oh, wow. Like that changed my whole like.
Right. Well, the book had Sleepy Hollow in it, like the Headless Horseman. It had a lot of stuff. But one of the stories in the book, which was like 90% fiction and 10% fact. It was basically a fake history of New York. The Johnny Appleseed, I think, came from there, like all these like fables and myths. And this was what he was saying actually happened in early New York. But one of the things that he said in there was that Columbus came to the New World and his primary motivation was to prove to the governments that the world was not flat, because at the time everybody thought the world was flat.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's not true.
Right.
When Columbus set sail, they didn't think the world
was flat.
He was
just an idiot.
Right.
So the
we taught that in grade school. I remember having these images of little cartoons of the ships sailing to the edge and they're afraid they were going to fall off and that whole fucking thing about Columbus.
And that
was his mission.
That the fact that we think that about Columbus is what Washington Irving did in the history of New York, and that was a fabrication.
So he's good for nothing now.
Columbus.
That was his last credit. He gets nothing now. Rape, genocide, and fucking more lies.
He did not come over here to prove that. But everybody believed it, and it was in the curriculum, and everybody looked at this book, The History of New York by Dietrich Knickerbocker, and people thought it was like a real book, so they would take excerpts from it and put it in other textbooks, and it ended up, I even want to say that like George Washington chopping down the cherry tree came from this book, like all kinds of shit came from this book that we still internalize and think are part of the American mythos, and it's because Washington Irving was the shit, so.
That's funny.
Yeah, I have to say that this topic too is a conspiracy theory that actually if it were to be true would put to bed a bunch of other conspiracy theories, like stuff that couldn't work. I mean, obviously the moon landing wouldn't have happened. There's so many different aliens.
Well,
you know what I mean?
There was a really heated debate between Rogan and Eddie Bravo. Eddie Bravo was like, just wasn't good on the argument end of it, to be honest. And Rogan was just drilling him. And it's like, it wasn't a fair argument because there's a lot of things that I could see that Eddie Bravo was dancing around, but he just didn't have him on the tip of his tongue. He could not retort. That's Rogan he's debating. That dude goes against like crazy. He sits down with Neil deGrasse Tyson and has conversations.
Yeah. So, he has one about this very topic.
Yeah. So I don't know. It made me, I had seen that already. So
you wasted
like,
your time.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this flat earth thing's dumb. But there is some stuff, man, that's like it was the general belief, you know, in our society, and then it faded away.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's a pretty strong following, because I think what happens is I think a lot of people see some validity and some convincing arguments in a lot of the stuff. There's some really compelling questions, I would have to say.
It's one of those things that you can't prove it wrong or right.
Yeah.
You know, like there's that.
I think if everyone was honest with how many people think that there's some kind of validity to it, the numbers would be higher than percentages.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. A number that you'll read regularly if you start doing research on this is that the Flat Earth Society has 200 members.
Right.
Like that's what you'll keep seeing everywhere. That is not true.
Yeah.
The Flat Earth Society has had 200 members add per year in the United States and the UK every year since they founded.
And that's so it's not, that, and that's not people that are sitting in their firm going, damn, that's kind of crazy.
No, but I'm just saying, I mean, it already shows a skew because it makes you think there's only 200 people. And I mean, the stat itself is there's 400 people per year, like since the 1950s have subscribed to this. And again, they will go into the reasons, we'll go into the what they
a PhD just write his like thesis or something. I didn't come across it this time, but I remember like not that long ago reading something about like a PhD actually wrote his thesis on the Earth being flat and like published. And I was like, what the hell? Like,
no, I didn't
yeah,
see
that was like ruffle some feathers because the guy's a PhD, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, there's probably people that think some things, but they don't want to admit it because it's like a pilot saying you saw a UFO, you're discredited immediately.
Right.
Yeah. So it's that type or a dentist saying that fluoride's bad. You're like out of the club. You know,
there's a bunch of logical things too, that don't make sense. You're like, how does that work? You know, like what's going on there? It should be this way. If the Earth is round, these things should happen.
Right.
These things should line up. This information should be correct.
Right.
But it's not. So that's where people get like kind of boggled, you know, because how can you as a person, just me sitting in my living room researching it, there's no way to prove it. You know, like we'd have to go out and rent a hot air balloon and go out and rent surveying equipment.
And that's the thing, you know, like there's some, like a hot air balloon won't go high enough.
No.
You know, you don't have access to an ice breaking boat that's going to go through Antarctica.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we can't get to these locations. The average 99.9% of the population cannot physically disprove it themselves by traveling to the location.
You don't have enough money for
one. You can't get there. You know what I mean? And so it makes it difficult because you can't actually go and just disprove it.
And if you can, the government will stop you.
Yeah.
Like that's the
other side. if you're very talented mathematically, you can prove it.
That's if mathematics are correct.
Right. I don't know. There's also
that's the thing.
Like, no, that is what they'll, you know, that is what they, yeah, what they come back with.
Yeah. Because there's all kinds of things with light rays. Yeah. Light rays and distance of the sun. And you know, there's all kinds of weird things of math that would prove the other.
Yeah. The theory of relativity was created based on a scientific finding that they didn't like. So then Einstein was forced to create the theory of relativity based on false findings and created this theory that we base everything on. And I can see how that happens. We talked about that in the pyramids episode, in the Egypt episode with the pyramids. Like scientists and archaeologists and people who know things have too much of an ego to break down their ego and say, no, we were wrong. You know, no, that's not how it is.
Right.
It's this way. But the other thing is, you know, there's the question of why does it matter? You know, why, if the Earth's heart shaped or fucking diamond shaped or flat or round, why does it matter? You know, so that's another question we'll go over. This is a rough topic.
It's a weird topic. So it's become more popular lately because certain, I don't know, mostly B-level celebrities or sports
basketball
people.
Stars. No, yeah.
There's been, I mean, B.O.B., the rapper, he's big.
Yeah, he's, but Tila Tequila.
okay.
But I'm just throwing that out. But
Bridget the Midget Fidget Spinner.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving. NBA.
I don't know sports. I'm going to say
Shaq said it, and then like in an interview like a week later said he was just joking. But
And
the thing is, like, I honestly, like what I see online, I see more people on Facebook and so forth post like flat earth stuff who are African American than anyone else. Like I think somehow this is an African American conspiracy theory.
Why would that be?
I don't know. But I mean, I have no evidence of that. But almost everyone I see who makes a flat earth post when I'm online, it tends to be a repost from some like blickety black website, like some blickety black. But I found that to be a strange fun. So like the black Illuminati must live on the flat earth, I guess.
That quote from Tesla, it said today's scientists have substituted mathematics for experiments. So that's the word I was looking for, experiments. And they wander through equation after equation and eventually build a structure which has no relation to reality. So that's kind of the thing with what happened with Albert Einstein. And basically, you know, something didn't turn out to their liking, so they created a rule that made that work. This whole thing is...
Did you get to listen to the rap battle between... B.O.B. and Tyson? No. I didn't either. I could because I know that
B.O.B. had him and Neil deGrasse Tyson
had like, a Twitter
had
war.
A thing, yeah.
But then the one thing I read, and it was right when I was done researching and I didn't have time to go back and look at it. It basically said that B.O.B. released a song that's called Flatline, and you can find it even samples Mo deGrasse Tyson. But then apparently Mo deGrasse Tyson wrote a rap song that he had his nephew record.
Yeah.
I kind of remember
it was horrible.
But
I did hear that.
Okay. I didn't hear it. I'm assuming it was horrible, but I never had a chance to hear it.
I mean,
it.
And that's the other thing too. Like we're going off of, you know, and I'm not putting down Mo deGrasse by any means or any other scientist. Like I'm not a scientist. I don't claim to be one. But you're going off information somebody's giving you and they don't even have the means to find out if what they're saying is true or not.
Yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson has not been to Antarctica. He's not been into space.
He hasn't been into space.
He's not even been in lower orbit or in a plane high enough to see it. Like everything's based off of historical.
It's philosophy.
Yeah. Historical. You know, what would be facts or mathematics based off of theories.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But no one has actually been like two portions of Antarctica.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, and for some, there's an Antarctica treaty that was like signed in 1959 that like people aren't going to go there. You can't claim the territory and no one's going to claim the natural resources, which is kind of crazy.
And the creepy.
As much war as we have over oil and shit.
Yeah.
Like there's a vast expanse, like the size of the United States, it's supposed to be rich in resources. Yeah. Like they found coal. I mean, the environment's really harsh, but fuck, they're talking about mining asteroids, but they're not going to mine Antarctica.
Yeah.
That's fucking kind of crazy. That's kind of weird. That brings up some questions.
I mean,
why are they not going there?
You have the creepy Trump wall of Antarctica that's 200 feet tall, you know, like, it's white too. Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, but that's like, that is insane. A 200 foot tall.
Well, talking about science, like here's the key difference, right? So the scientific method uses empirical evidence. It uses experiments that can be repeatable to get the same exact result, et cetera. This is the scientific method. This is, you know, whether it's, you know, physics, whether it's mathematics, whether like this is the standard. But the thing is, and I'd never even heard of this until I started looking at the flat earth thing, but the flat earth believers aren't trying to counter scientific evidence or the scientific method because they're using something called the zetetic method. And it's an alternative to the scientific method. It was developed by a 19th century flat earther. And in this, sensory observations reign supreme. Right. So the guy who came up with this idea said, quote, broadly, the method places a lot of emphasis on reconciling empiricism and rationalism and making local deductions based on empirical data.
Meaning so, see it and believe it.
Exactly. See it and believe it. Yeah. Like if the
that's like, hey, this hat floats, Dave. And you're like, no, it doesn't. And I throw it up and it falls. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's not believable.
So they're not using the scientific method. They're using the zetetic method. And the guy that came up with that, as far as I know, unless he was just the guy who popularized it, was really awesome name. Samuel Rowbotham.
Ooh.
Did you run into
the robot from Gotham? No. Yeah.
Samuel Rowbotham. He lived from 1816 to 1855, and he wrote under a pseudonym named Parallax.
Nice.
Like a hack, like, he had a hacker.
I know. He was an OG hacker. Yeah. So he called himself Parallax, and he wrote a book, a pamphlet called Zetetic Astronomy in 1849, and it argued for a flat earth. And it basically what he did, he started to look, he did something that he called the Bedford Level experiment.
Okay, I do know that. That's the boat in the canal with the telescope. I just didn't know that was his name.
So did you understand that very well?
Yeah, he had a flag mounted 6 miles down on a canal.
We talked about this.
Yeah, we talked about it a long time ago. I like went on my rant or
this
something.
This was one of the NASA first curvature tests.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So over a period of 6 miles, like based off the circumference and curvature of the earth, there should be a drop. He should not be able to see that flag. And based off of whatever, you know, surveying, they knew the level and drop and elevation of this portion of land, and he in a boat with a telescope could see the flag or whatever that was placed in the other boat 6 miles away. There was no declination, like it didn't go down at all. He could still see it. And a lot of people use that argument as people that do lasers across like giant bodies of water to the shore on the other side, and it doesn't drop, you know, based off of just knowing the circumference of the earth and what should happen, you know, because light's not gonna bend just through the atmosphere, you know, it shouldn't drop. I don't the gravity effects light.
Yeah, and there's arguments where people say, well, your vision bends, and you're like, no.
Well, here's the thing though, because one of Robotham's supporters, John Hamden, made a bet with a scientist named Alfred Russel Wallace, and they ended up getting a third party moderator to determine whether or not the test was going to work or not. The Bedford Level experiment. So they went to the same exact place. They took the same exact equipment, and apparently Alfred Russel Wallace proved by looking at atmospheric refraction.
So the light did bend.
The light did bend in the atmosphere. That the equations that they were using were not accounting for atmospheric refraction. And if you added the formulas of atmospheric refraction, it was a perfect match. It perfectly explained the phenomenon that was happening.
Who came up with that, though? Somebody who believed that there was
like how Brad said, making a rule to fit the model. Like, so the thing that can happen is like, yeah, why is atmospheric refraction happening? Or did we create atmospheric refraction to explain why curvature doesn't occur in that scenario? It's like the chicken or the egg thing.
Yeah, but it has to be the refraction comes after, because once you figure out, oh, hey, the Earth's round. Okay. Well, and how come I can see this way out here?
Atmosphere refraction. So
my reading of it wasn't that this guy came up with atmospheric refraction. It was the fact that he was calling bullshit on this thing because he wasn't accounding for atmospheric refraction.
And I'm not arguing this.
Yeah. And we're not saying that he came up with it or not.
We're just saying, did the original rule come to an existence in order to explain the anomaly of still being able to see the flag?
Yeah.
Did they create atmospheric refraction or the explanation of that theory based off the fact that this is occurring over this distance? You can still see this object, and you shouldn't be able to because the curvature and the circumference of the earth. So this must be happening. Create rule. See what I'm saying?
No, like, I see what you're saying.
Over this distance, light changes at a declination of this much per foot because of atmospheric refraction. So it's the chicken or the egg thing. Like maybe these rules were made. And that's what happens when I'm like, oh, Neil deGrasse Tyson, like he's like, well, this is the rule of this. This is the rule of that.
And he's off
inside the model. He's inside the zoo. You know what I mean? Like he's in this.
He's going off what exists, not creating new models.
Yeah. You're going to create something based off the rules of your environment. So if that's the environment that you're given, I think I said that last time, like some of the mathematical models and whatnot might be created to explain the way things are happening. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And not that it's right or wrong. Like we don't know. Like that's the crazy thing.
The biggest thing is like, so like a couple of the examples that I came across and made me think about was like this is the scalability of something. So like the Truman Show, that's one guy in one town, you know, like how crazy does it have to be able to do the whole fucking planet? But what happens is like the chances of one guy talking to another guy or the person giving a shit about their environment. Some people don't care. They don't look up. They walk fucking, they get in the car, they drive to there.
It's 99% of society won't care.
They don't even care, you know? So one of the examples I came across was like most of the population of the inhabitants of Earth being animals, insects, fish, they don't care if they were in a cage. But the problem happens is when a human encounters a boundary. If a whale swims up to glass, it's going to turn around and go get some fish somewhere else. If a leopard comes to a fence that it can't climb, it's going to go kill a rabbit somewhere else. It's just going to walk back. If a human encounters that barrier, we're going to question the barrier and say, who made the barrier? How did it get here? How long has it been here? Is there something on the other side of it?
And you're talking about,
am I in prison? Like, what does my existence mean now? Someone made this. You start to question, there's someone powerful made this thing. And then religion comes into play. There's lots of other things that happen, you know? And there's like the Dark City movie where they found out that they shouldn't have built the city all the way up to the wall. There needed to be a perimeter around the boundary. Yeah. And if you think of it in that relation, it's like the perfect model.
Well, so, and you're talking too, that because there's a belief that there's a dome basically over the earth.
Well, the thing I was gonna say is like, if you picture we're on seven islands, right? In the middle of water that we can't drink. So jump back in history before we had the technology to cross. If you're in a little boat, you are highly unlikely to make it to whatever the truth would be on the perimeter if it were on a disc, right?
Right.
If there's this giant ice border, how hard is it to get off your little island, right? If you think about a continent like an island, and then make it across seas that could be rough seas that are made out of water that you conveniently can't drink because it's salt water now. So if you're thinking of that as something to put in place to be an obstacle, and then the further you get, the colder it gets, so it starts to become harsher. And then finally you encounter a giant fucking wall that looks like some shit from Game of Thrones. And if somehow you break out your fucking rope and icicle thing and climb up that shit, it's hundreds of miles of vast, barren, no vegetation other than like emperor penguins or something that you have nothing to eat. It's highly unlikely. You're going to give up and turn away. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's, it's like that Truman Show thing. It's the same thing.
In an aeroplane.
Now, though, you're in an aeroplane. But guess what? Still, what portion of the population has a private airplane, right? Not very many. And if
and
you do
you
have
to
a
go
private
off
airplane,
air towers.
Are you going to 13th floor go off
I hear what you're saying, but
go?
I have to say there will have been enough people who have flown that path to suddenly need a massive conspiracy.
But how many people
hiding the truth?
But how many people actually have just Admiral Byrd, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, because you have.
No one does it because
when
why?
You leave an airport, they're going to give you, you have coordinates that you're going off of. And you're going to fly those coordinates.
Yeah, that's
if
what I'm saying.
Off track,
it would have to be a rogue single pilot, someone who has as crazy as we are and is questioning the validity of the circumference of the Earth being a globe, to go on a mission and fly over the ocean and then go over Antarctica.
I'm sure
and
that
have the resources.
I'm sure that someone.
Yeah, Admiral Byrd.
That someone's like, hey, I'm in southern Australia and I need to get to South Africa. I'm just going to fly over the fucking South Pole.
So I'm glad you brought that up. So this map that I have in front of me, right, is the path that normal commercial flights take. And it's really weird, dude. Like I'm going to keep
this is trippy.
Let's just preface everything I say with allegedly, because I don't want to get labeled the fucking crazy flat earther.
No, I'm with you on this.
It's some really weird, strange, compelling arguments. Like, so this is like from, I can't remember. So it's like flights, something trackflights.com. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's this website and you can go look at every flight in real time that's tracked in GPS. So every commercial flight you're allowed to see, it's public knowledge. You can see these little planes and it shows them flying to their destination. So from New York to Spain, New York to France, all these little planes are flying and they're red if they're this, they're yellow if they're that. But what's the weird part is in the southern hemisphere, all the planes just disappear off the coast and then they'll reappear within an hour of their arrival at their destination for some reason. On every website that's represented, they're all pulling their GPS source information from the same database, I'm sure, and their third-party sites that have been made for traveling. But for some reason, they don't show their flight, and they have really odd, like, stopping points. So, like, if you're going to go from New Zealand, for example, is a good example, to anywhere in the fucking world on a globe, if you're going around a circle, there's shortcuts. If it's a flat Earth disc, you're at the furthest fucking point from some other place. You have to, you know, why would you not just go from New Zealand to Argentina? Why would I not go here? Why do I go there? It's not for fuel, that's for sure. If this is 7,000 miles and takes 12 hours, why would I do 16,000 miles and take 27 hours for that flight? Is it because I'm picking up some people here? That doesn't make sense. Let them get from there on a plane and go to there, right? But guess what does make sense?
Yeah, so it goes from...
If that's the flat Earth, it's a straight line and you would stop in Los Angeles.
But
there's the thousands of these, dude. You can look it up.
Flights don't go in a fucking triangle around the world.
They do.
Go book that shit on Expedia.com and check your layovers.
I've looked at flight
patterns. Find a direct flight from fucking Argentina over there to New Zealand. Find it. And then book it and fly it and then come tell me. That's the thing, is how many people are really going to do that is the thing. Are you going to go book the flight to prove me wrong? No, we're going to look on a computer and argue about a flight path. But if you go look at it, 98% of those flight paths have some weird layover that's twice as long as
the distance. Here's the fact, though. So you're saying that either no one has ever made that flight to confirm that the Earth is round.
No, they
or everyone who has made that flight is complicit in a conspiracy to act like they've never
made it. They don't know.
Normal people, me or you, like until just a second ago, you wouldn't have thought about that. You'd be like, fuck. You would have thought, damn, that's a 27-hour flight. I hope there's fucking whiskey and a movie. And you would have sat there in misery, sat at your layover, got on the plane.
No, because I've looked at a lot of flight patterns like for research and stuff, and they're circular. They don't just go in straight lines. They go, they're circular.
There's the circle path that shows that as a representation as the curvature of the Earth. But these weird stopovers, if you get there and try to make these destinations specifically from
New Zealand. Why are you going from New Zealand to LAX?
If you try to pick New Zealand because there's no fucking shortcut on that model, right? But when you start taking these weird lines like this on a bunch of the weird layers.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I'm just saying, so what happened to the people who have flown over the South Pole?
Have they?
Yes.
Have they?
Yes.
Find them.
You sure?
Yes.
Did you bring a paper with you today to show me that and argue that?
No. When airplanes got invented, there was a fucking land grab of everyone setting records and wanting to be the first one to fly from this place to that place, fly from here to there, here to there. I promise you, if we did research,
Amelia Earhart, like everyone's like this.
I promise you, someone flew from fucking Australia to South Africa and didn't fucking go around.
Admiral Byrd is like the guy. That's it. And he went and he was a respected like admiral in the military. And he went and said he found a vast expanse that was bigger than the United States. And then he encountered
Admiral Byrd was in a boat.
And then they took him back. They took him back on a mission with the military. That's the only person that's ever like fucking been over there, allegedly, apparently.
So our fucking satellites aren't above there.
Mine and Brad's thing we were just talking about. There's supposed to be 50,000 satellites above the fucking Earth. And not to skip from flat Earth to fake space station, but you have to do that to encourage this flat Earth theory.
Yeah, there's so many things.
When you show space station footage, it should be a fucking parking lot of 50,000 satellites scraping all over the fucking place. That's a lot of satellites. Well, and they're the size of a Volkswagen Beetle or a school bus. You would see them fucking all over the place if there was 50,000 of them.
I don't think you would. If you had 50,000 Beetles parked in California, one beetle isn't going to see the other one. Like spread evenly around fucking California.
And you're up there for days in the space station, months at a time with footage. You do not see satellites going by like that.
The NASA's, the space station isn't in space either. It's in orbit, but it's not in space. We actually haven't been to space since they claimed that Apollo landed on the moon.
The thing is with this, like, obviously I'm playing devil's advocate to argue the point of this because there's some really weird questions. Like, why are those flight paths like that?
And my thing was...
Well, the flight paths could be explained by fucking dollars and cents. The flight paths can be explained by hubs and by charging you more money. I'm more likely to believe Delta's going to fly you to New York before they fly you back to that other place so they can charge you more fucking money for your flight than I am to believe.
Maybe, but it took them more resources. It took them more fuel.
Yeah. So this is the other thing. So the Earth is spinning at a little over 1,000 miles an hour, right? Yes. It's rotating at a little over 1,000 miles an hour. If you took a helicopter and flew straight up into the air, the Earth would still be rotating, correct? So you should be able to land in a different destination.
If you sit and hover it straight up, Brad said that earlier. I was like, is the atmosphere moving with it and moving you at the perfect pace? I don't know. That's some physics thing. There might be some scientists laughing their ass off.
But that's the thing. Like, I don't know. Like, that is a logical thing where I'm like, I don't see how that works. If you're flying one way with the rotation of the Earth, it would take you longer to get to a destination than it would the other way, the same
chasing
distance.
Chasing it at 1,000 miles an hour? I don't know.
And you're only going 700 in an airplane. Now, if it does rotate, okay, whatever. But the other thing is, it's traveling. We're like a fucking ball that's been thrown by a pitcher in the space. You know what I mean? Like, well, everything's traveling at millions of miles an hour.
Because of centrifugal rotation and gravity, we're all stuck at the same place. Otherwise, if I drop this pen, it would fly to the side because it's going 1,000 miles an hour.
So here's,
but it is, we're all going 1,000 miles an hour.
You're saying because that pen still has momentum, but a helicopter, if it was able to hover for 24 hours, you would lose that momentum eventually. And it would move under
You're constantly being thrown off the planet by centrifugal force, and you're constantly being pulled back to the planet by gravity. So it's constantly keeping you in the same place relative to everything else.
That may be
valid.
Yeah, because
hey man, I've been on Gravitron at the fair.
And this is the other thing about gravity. I've done no scientific tests. I don't know. Just using logic, though. it doesn't, gravity doesn't make sense. That it has a, natural pull just because it's a big object.
How does it hold the ocean to the earth, but not a fruit fly?
Yeah.
When a fruit fly has little tiny wings to
or
fly
a seagull.
Away,
like, or, you know, a small bird or a plane or whatever, but it holds the ocean.
It's because we don't know what the fuck we're talking about, I'm sure.
Yeah. Right.
Every, but,
I'm just
but
trying to illustrate,
come,
like...
This is the other thing, though. How come... It's just buoyancy and density of things. So if I drop a bowling ball in water, it's going to sink. If I drop a floaty ball, it's going to float.
What's a floaty ball?
Like a rubber ball or something, you know what I mean? Like a foam ball or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's going to sink and the other one's going to float. But it just doesn't make sense because it's due to density and how much the item weighs. Like, it has nothing to do really with gravity. Like, I don't understand how.
Also has to do with air displacement and.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense though. Like, there's a lot of things that don't
think
make
about that.
Sense.
So a battleship will fucking sink, but a basketball will just fucking resist that whole thing. You know what I mean? But I guess it's based off of its weight versus. The more weight, the more mass, the more gravity has an effect on it.
Right.
It's just that part's a trip. But one of the things
it just
I saw,
make sense.
They did time-lapse photography of the star Polaris. Like, if you center in on the star Polaris and do time-lapse photography at night, you can see the rotation of the stars or the Earth, whichever you believe. And it makes these perfect spiral circles around Polaris. And Polaris remains the center of that, mm-hmm. right?
It's actually really cool.
Yeah, it looks really cool. But you're like, dang, that's pretty crazy that Polaris is the center, the perfect North Star based off of our North Pole. That's kind of weird that all lines up. But I guess any star would end up lining
right.
up. And I think at given times, based off of our tilt and over the precession of the equinox, different stars have been the star before. Our timeline of life is just not long enough to know that. But the part that makes it weird is it's a perfect rotation and you get these perfect, you know, circles, these concentric circles like Captain America shield in the picture. But we're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour and then we're rotating around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And our solar system is rotating through the universe at 600,000 miles an hour.
And we're flying at 1,000,000 miles
an hour. Which is just fucking crazy. Then I don't understand how these still get perfect circles, that all that's going to line up perfectly.
The other thing too is the constellations. I really found it weird that we're being thrust through the air because of the Big Bang. You know, and the Earth and our entire solar system and the Milky Way is just flying through space.
Yeah, that's what I was just
but
saying.
But the constellations never change.
That's distance. So
yeah, but they would change though eventually. Like, you would be
they
getting
do. Yeah,
over,
they do though.
I think they're always the there. Scale is just so vast.
It's 26,000 years, and we're used to like I'm going to live to be fucking 70 if I'm lucky, and right. then if I pass it down to my fucking kids.
But the constellations have been. Studied for
that's like so that's I mean, like a perspective thing. So like if you were riding in a car and you're looking out the window, you're in the back seat.
I understand.
Yeah, all the fucking trees.
I'm
are,
just well, saying.
I'm going to make another point off this: is the trees are flying by.
Yeah.
Right. The mountain in the background is not really moving until you've traveled for some distance.
Yeah.
It looks like it's stationary. Well, people
what's closer moves
weather
fast,
balloons yeah. with GoPros and shit to try to prove this stuff off, and it's bouncing and whatnot.
Yeah.
You can see these videos that people have done that are third party, that's not funded by NASA or anything.
They're private. Yeah.
And the weird thing that a couple of those photos shows, I was going to print. I'm out to show you guys, but like one of the things that happens is the distance of the sun is supposed to be 93 million miles away. So one of the things Brad and I were talking about, you should have parallel, all the light should just be like, if you had a fucking flashlight on an apple and you backed off at some point, like all the light rays are hitting it at the same angle at that point. And you shouldn't get like a hot spot on the apple if you back up that yeah. far. Our cloud cover has like a hot spot under where the sun is at, which is one of their arguments that it would lead you to believe that the sun is closer than it should be because it should just be an even blanket of light over half yeah. the earth like it is. But you actually get a hot spot, and given the size and mass of the sun and the distance that it is, one would think that you would have an even blanket of light and not a hot spot unless the sun was closer than we think it is. The other thing that happens is when the bobbing of that camera happens on the balloon and it's moving, the sun is moving relative with the horizon and whatnot when it shouldn't. It should be the mountains on the outside of the car. It should be a fixed position and the
shouldn't
earth should
be moving.
Move and it yeah. should stay because it's 93 million miles away,
yeah.
but it doesn't. It moves, which leads people to the theory that the sun is like 3,000 miles away and a lot smaller than it is, which sounds fucking crazy, yeah. but
yes.
there's like, there's a bunch of theories.
Well, it does it though? It's just, that's because you've been told.
So
something.
Does a giant burning ball of yeah. fucking gas. That's a permanent nuclear reaction. That's just fucking out of control.
I'm just, I'm
93 million
to,
miles away.
I'm not willing to throw away 500 years of science because of a GoPro on a fucking
they
balloon.
Threw away 1,000 years of science based off a stick in the fucking dirt though. You know what I mean? Before that, you would have been crazy for thinking it was fucking round and yeah. someone stuck a stick in the dirt. dirt and did some geometry and was like, no, it's round.
And this is the other thing too, you know,
or the sun's closer than we think.
We're trusting people that can't figure out how the pyramids are made.
We don't know anything. We don't know what's in the core of the fucking earth. That's the other thing. Like,
yeah,
the deepest we've ever been is 8 miles down. And guess what happens? You hit another barrier that stops you. You hit fucking hot lava. Like, so this way you can't drink salt water and it gets really fucking cold and a giant Game of Thrones wall pops up in front of you. And then there's hundreds of miles of fucking nothing where you'll just die. If you try to go up, an average person can't fucking fly, right? Or the oxygen gets thinner
and apparently
your blood will boil and your fucking eyes pop out of your head and you die.
Yeah.
If you try to dig too far, you get down to hot lava.
Can't get through.
And the best we can do is 8 miles down. Like, you know what I mean? We have no idea what the fuck is in the core of the earth.
So let's explain. So I don't think people understand the nature of what the flat earth is supposed to be like, according to people. And this was the current idea of what the flat earth looks like was basically developed by a guy named Samuel Shenton in 1956. And he created the International Flat Earth Research Society, which is still in existence and his whole thing. So the thing that I saw that explained their idea of what the world looks like the most is if you looked at the United Nations symbol.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
Like the UN symbol, because the UN symbol is just it's a disc.
There's a name for that map. It starts with an A. It's like the agrarian model or something.
Yeah. But so the center of the map is the North Pole.
Right.
And then everything else is aside from it. So that's basically what it looks like. If it was a flat earth, that's what it looks like. The North Pole is in the center. Everything is flat all the way out. And the supposed South Pole is just a giant 150-mile high block of ice that rims the edge of the disc that is the earth.
It's holding in everything. Yeah.
So this is, and then the
on
idea
the back
is
of a turtle.
That almost it's in some sort of a disc that has a moon, a sun, and an anti-moon that are all 3,000 miles.
The
anti-moon has to exist in order to make a certain, eclipses and so forth.
It really doesn't though, because in Minecraft you could make whatever the fuck you want. If you want something to go in a circle, you just program it to do so.
Okay.
Which would get to my ultimate like Santa Claus theory, but I won't go there because then everything would just be to be like, well, if you're magic, if you're God or you're Santa Claus, you can put all the presents in a bag and make it around the world. Like in a simulation theory, none of this is even arguable. It's like, yep, we're a video game. We can have a sun.
Right,
without,
a simulation.
We don't need an anti-moon. Yeah.
So the Earth's day and night cycle is explained by the position of the sun and the moon and their spheres that are 32 miles wide, that are 3,000 miles above the plane of the earth. The stars are 3,100 miles up.
Or a high def projection on some fucking sort of thing I saw. Like,
right.
Which isn't that crazy either. I don't know.
There's a bunch of weird shit.
And they believe that there must be an invisible anti-moon that obscures the moon during lunar eclipses. So that's the other thing that has to be.
Because they could come up with a scenario for it to dark out. How about the lights just turn off on it? Like, it's self-luminous. Yeah. Like, that would be a better
thing. Because they're still willing to believe that there's an actual moon out there that's being blocked from the light source that we...
Well, there's a bunch of science to say, too. Like, the color spectrum that comes out of sunlight doesn't match what should be reflected based off of the material on the moon. That's not the right light spectrum.
Yeah,
it should be a different hue.
The other thing, too, if you took a really bright light and shined it on dirt, it doesn't reflect back. Like, I don't... Like,
the moon
there's
is like
so many...
Like, I don't know, the color and whatnot. It depends on what absorbs.
But gray. Like, there's rock, you know, like, I don't
is
know.
Is it gray though? Or was that the fucking Nevada desert and Stanley Kubrick? I don't know. It's just fucking, I'm going to go crazy.
So the flat earth people also insist that there isn't such thing as gravity. Gravity is an illusion because the flat earth is actually constantly accelerating upwards.
I saw that. Yeah.
And that's what's pushing everything down is a constant upward.
There was some weird universal wind too. What was it called? Did you get that?
The phlogiston.
No, that's cooler than the word I thought of.
Phlogiston.
I don't know. There was some kind of wind that was supposed to be, through some kind of wind, and it sounded magical.
One
it was
of
very
things,
Lord of the Rings.
One of the things with the spinning earth, I mean, the hard part is like if you, and this all goes to we're on earth already, we're not moving, apparently. Like we're moving, but we're not moving. But when you spin a ball, like that's wet, Where does the water go? It goes to the center, to the equator, right?
It's because it doesn't have enough mass to obtain the level of gravity it would take to hold that its own mass.
Yeah, in. But what makes the mass? Like, what? Why does the mass make the gravity? Like, but that's
you're,
where
you're talking about spinning a ball inside of an atmospheric environment that's not a vacuum.
Exactly.
If it was in a vacuum and it had the mass to the scale, the ratio of the water, yeah. Things would probably be different.
Where's the vacuum come from, though? Well, there has to be some sort of shell.
Well, in, right? That's what I mean. In space, it's just a lack of. There's it's an absence right. of. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like there is no cold. It's an absence of heat. Cold doesn't actually exist. So the vacuum is just an absence of air or atmosphere.
So there has to be something holding everything in. Like there's, it can't just be nothing there. If there's nothing there, well,
the other thing
that's
tricky about the right? about the rotation of the Earth is like, you know, just based off of, you know, like a bike gear, it's just normal. Like if the center of the Earth, the equator, is the fastest spinning, you know, mm-hmm. or it's spinning at this speed, the up at the top, it's not going to be spinning at the same speed. You know what I mean? So yeah. like, are people acclimated to that rotation? And then
yeah, because if you move,
feel weird, like
yeah, if you move to the top, if you move to the North Pole. You'd be spinning a lot faster.
That's what I'm saying. You're spinning faster or slower yeah. based on your position. Also, the whole moon thing, like based on how far away the moon's supposed to be, like there was things with like cloud lighting. Like the moon was lighting small portions of cloud, a lot like that hot spot on the sun where like, you know, if you backed a flashlight off against the wall, it would light up the whole wall versus the distance. And at 280,000 miles or whatever, it shouldn't be lighting a small portion of the clouds that's at like 10,000 feet. It just doesn't make yeah. sense. There's weird shit like that, you know? And you should have a different perspective from the bottom of the Earth versus the top of the Earth. You should see a little more of the bottom of the moon versus a little more of the top of the moon, but you don't. We all get the same perspective from wherever you're at.
You always see the man on the moon.
I never thought about that.
How do you feel about the moon landing
stuff? Perspective of the moon.
I don't remember where you stood on that.
I stood on the fact that it could have, I mean,
it was either 50-50. Or we don't know. Yeah.
It could, there was incentive and reason for it to have been hoax. And there was enough technology and mind power for them to have pulled it off.
Was there though? This is the crazy thing. They're barely being able to say that we're actually going to be able to go back into space.
Yeah, with all the new technology we have, the difference between that year and this year, they're still building a little Apollo thing. Like, yeah. what the fuck?
It's like the Orion or whatever.
Because no one gives a shit. It's because at the time, America was throwing its resources into putting us, like, we don't do that.
Well, that was one of their arguments too, was when we first got rocketry, allegedly, this is what I read, that for some reason, when we first started launching those rockets and had success, they were launching nukes, atmospheric nukes. Russia and America at the same time were launching multiple atmospheric nukes. And the argument is that they were trying to see if they could pierce the firmament or whatever. Is that how it said? Firmament? Firmament?
Firmament.
Firmament.
Fermented grape juice.
Yes.
And there's multiple atmospheric that are highly, like, very costly. It's really expensive to do that. But we were both doing it at the same time. Now, whether that's weapons testing or, you know, it was the race. But they're starting to say that, like, then we were both starting to fake what we needed to fake to hide it. I mean, it is a huge societal impact if we were all to learn all of a sudden that all that shit was a lie. Like, think what would happen.
Yeah.
If all of a sudden we found that there weren't satellites, there wasn't really space. We were in this fucking little
I can't buy it. So
well,
it would
why would it be a
conspiracy. It would be the most vast conspiracy
yes,
on Earth.
It is.
And there would be hundreds of thousands of people complicit in it that are in so-called space programs all over the world that have launched things that
I don't
have
know
been.
That not really. I don't know if yes. they would. They're no. not really going up there. They're on a radio. They're sitting at a computer. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're doing trajectory
and the people
and telemetry
who,
based off of shit. They don't see that part.
The people who are going up there are going up high enough to be floating. They
Remember
feel like
the,
they're in
when
space.
The alleged moon landing fallacy is that they were sending data and radio
to
Houston and they
didn't
even know.
So we launched the Cassini probe and it flies through the fucking solar system, takes pictures of us going farther and farther away as a fucking sphere. It goes from planet to planet to planet, mm-hmm. looking at them as spheres, and it confirms what physics tells us, which is that if there's something that is this large in space, gravity will compact it into a ball and it will be a sphere. It's every other planet in our solar system
if
follows
they,
that
hold on,
model.
Hold on,
every
you're
hold
making
on,
the
though.
Assumption that those exist, that that's not part of the
I'm making the assumption that those exist because we have every wealthy nation and university in the world is launching probes, is watching this, is doing the measurements. Physics confirms it. Astrophysics confirms it. Astrology confirms it. Mathematics confirms it. Like, we're dismissing all of science because of a fucking GoPro with a weird light on a cloud.
what about an asteroid that's bigger than the Earth? How come it's not round and in a ball shape?
Because it's not old enough. It broke off of something else. It was collided into something else.
Oh, so you're making excuses now. I'm just saying, how do you know it's not old enough?
Like, I don't know. What you're saying, like, the how crazy the conspiracy would have to be for everyone to be in on it. But I think not everyone has to be in on it when you're inside of
the, what's
inside
to gain? This, what's to gain from the conspiracy?
It's not what's to gain, it's what's to lose. It's that they didn't know until they went and fucking found out that. That they, if you did that, then NASA would immediately shut down. All those people would be out of a job. Everybody that
that's
works
not
at,
very many people.
It's about money.
That's a trickling fucking.
NASA gets $18.6 billion.
A year. That's nothing. So think about the companies that are related to the things that are related to astrophysics or aeronautics or engineering and all of the connected things that happen. The companies that build money. The things for NASA through third party contracts like Raytheon or fucking Lockheed, all of that stuff happening. Every astronaut that was ever involved, every person that was ever employed, all the people that got caught out of the money that they paid for the research to do this stuff, it would go fucking crazy. And then everyone would definitely not believe anyone in the government about everything.
So then
freak the fuck out.
Every probe, every satellite, everything we've launched is a lie.
No, they're out there. There's satellites.
No, they're not. If they are out there,
I don't know that there are.
They're not in space.
No. If they are out there, then they have confirmed gravity, orbital patterns, spherical planets. They have, if they exist and they are out there, those are confirmed scientific facts. If none of those exist and none of them are out there,
that's not necessarily true. You don't know what's being shown. And I'm not saying that it's that you're wrong or right. I'm just
about it though. It's not, I'm not saying that it is, obviously. I want to make sure that I'm not just agreeing with you. We're not gonna have
I really want there to be
it.
Flat now.
But these are really,
really do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a very cool, romantic, exciting fucking, like, it's the ultimate conspiracy. We're on the Truman Show, right? But it's,
I don't think it's the Truman Show thing. I think that we're not smart enough, we haven't figured it out yet. And the other thing is that it's the ultimate lie. You know, like, and the whole other side of this conspiracy theory is the mind control thing, right? So did you get into that, Dave?
Mm-mm.
So, well, the whole thing is, why lie? Why lie? Why does it matter, right? Like, and I said this earlier, why does it matter what shape the Earth is? Why does it matter if it's flat or if it's round or whatever, right? If
we question our existence and it wouldn't work.
Exactly.
It wouldn't work.
The other thing is that
if we found out we were in a cage, we would freak the fuck out.
So the whole thing is if the elite is lying to you, right? We all know who the elite is. If they're lying to you,
the guy with the twisty mustache,
they've tricked you.
The
monocle. Right in the center.
Right.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Hitler twist his mustache? Mm-hmm. Dave was doing that earlier. I mean, if they're lying to you, they're able to brainwash you as far as believing whatever the fuck they want you to believe. Right. And it all comes down to money, right? If you own everything, you're good. And they're controlling population. They're controlling what we know. And if we just feel like we just live on this earth, we're here, we're doing what we need to do, good.
And maybe the super elitist 1% of the top of every fucking country,
they all know.
Maybe they all just get blowjobs all day and get handed $10,000 fucking for breakfast because they're in on it. I don't know. You know.
So is every astronomer, physicist, and mathematician in on it?
I say they're looking through a telescope and they're seeing what they're seeing. When you watch The Matrix, you see it and believe it. You know what I mean? You're watching that mirror like, damn, that looks real. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's technology above and beyond our wildest fucking dreams. When you have a dream at night, you think you're flying. Didn't that seem real? We know that that simulation is possible in your brain because it happens when you dream, right? That's a real possibility. That's like holodeck experience.
What about the, okay?
And
what about the
organically happened?
Like, let's downgrade the tech. What about the basic fucking 2-stick summer solstice at noon test?
And what about it?
You get
it's either 93 million miles or 3,100 miles. It has to be one of the one of the two, I guess, for the math to work. It works to both people's argument on that particular test.
How does it work to the flat Earth argument?
Because they said the sun's 3,000 miles away and the math works at their measurements. That's how they got those measurements.
They did the same thing that scientists are doing by making it work for them.
The same thing happens when, and it could be atmospheric refraction, whatever we quoted earlier, when the light comes through the clouds, like above the ocean, they can take like and triangulate the measurements that it creates.
Yeah, where it ends at.
Using geometry, it's like, oh, this is the distance of that because we know how far it is from the clock.
Now, see, I have to call bullshit on that because if I took a beach ball in this basement and shined a light on it, mm-hmm. I can do that same. I can't because I fucking suck at math, but I can do the calculation that says where the light is, et cetera, that I can calculate the circumference of the sphere,
right,
that I'm
how far
on
it is, yeah,
based upon that.
Right.
And that isn't with a 3,000 mile away sun.
No, yeah, but the size is relative too. The length of the shadow and the angle of the light, that's what's happening. And they're saying that this source of light has to either be at this circumference at this distance,
yeah,
which probably you can adjust those numbers however you want, but it does, it debunks it because you could change your distance. You could keep changing the circumference.
If you think to accommodate the distance.
They picked a sun distance that makes the math work both
And then
ways.
They set the circumference based off
What
of
about
that.
Weather patterns?
What about them?
A weather pattern.
What about the weather patterns you don't see on the live animation globes?
Well, no, I'm just NASA. Saying like fucking weather, a big weather front will blow south and go over the South Pole and then come up the other side.
Some of the theories
One thing they're always doing is swirling round like a disc.
Yeah, but there are weather patterns that go over the North Pole and over the South Pole, and no weather pattern could go over the South Pole. It would go over the South Pole and vanish, and no weather would
That's
ever
depending
form
on what's
from
beyond
the South
it.
Pole.
I really didn't come across what they thought was beyond it.
Well, nobody knows.
Yeah. So
well, no, it would be impossible. It would be impossible for
unless we're in a dome on a large expanse and there's just more land outside.
No. It would be impossible because if you had this disc and a weather pattern that was heading towards the South Pole, it would go off the edge, and an identical weather pattern would never randomly be forming on the other side of the disc to perfectly match where that weather pattern left. We would watch this weather pattern leave, and right. then nothing would show up on the other side.
Yeah, that's a solid argument. My biggest thing for this whole thing is that is no crazier than our current fucking situation, right? Than being on a spinning ball at 1,000 miles an hour
and
going around
the
sun
at
67,000 at 600,000 miles on the solar system, flying through the vastness of a multiverse.
Well, here's the thing, though. Regardless of how mind-boggling that is, we have thousands of years in thousands of cultures with people who have made various calculations through various means of science, all coming to the same conclusion about the nature of our solar system and universe, and it couldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened.
Their theories is something to do with all major religions originally thought the firmament theory. They thought that we were on a disc surrounded by like a body of water or something. And all major religions across the globe, like from Buddhism to Christianity, everyone had a very similar thought. But at some point in time, they said it's like kind of like the flood, the great deluge story, the Tower of Babel. Lots of things come into play where they disrupted that, changed our language.
Something happened.
Yeah. They changed it because it wasn't going to work. We had discovered it or something. And so Copernicus could be a plant. They go, here, let's introduce this. And that would set this up. My problem with arguing any of this shit anymore is ultimately my Santa Claus theory comes back in. And I just go, yeah, it's just a simulation. It doesn't fucking matter. I could do whatever I want because I kind of do believe we're in a simulation. And it just trumps every fucking argument because I'm like, yeah, you just code that in. That's just coded in. The sun.
Right. Well, that's
the matrix that's thing. But if you're going off of nature,
based off the laws of physics, that could just be coded physics, though, based off of a simulation.
And the laws,
that's my problem.
The laws of physics were made by man.
Think of the crazy things that occur. You know what I mean?
From nothing.
We have a fish that can spit out of the water.
Well, no, the laws of physics already exist, and we're just discovering them.
Yeah, but are they right? I mean, everything's been changed. 1,000 years ago, everything was different. You know, 500 years ago, things were different. You know,
different, but our belief in it was different.
Yeah. Like I said, if the satellites are out there and if we're tracking these things, I mean, the calculations that we can make about gravity on the Earth are identical to calculations that explain why all of the planets are exactly where they are in relation to the sun, confirm the mass of those planets, the speed they're moving, the things in orbit around those planets, even the rings around Saturn.
Because
like these things
are all
based on calculations about gravity.
Because you're using that set of rules.
Because millions of people have observed these events and 3,000 people have observed GoPros and are trying to argue against but millions of cases of empirical evidence. I mean, I'm just weighing evidence versus evidence.
I think you're a little high on that number. But millions of people.
Here's the thing about millions of people, though.
No, I think millions of people around the world in history have done these calculations, have studied this. Absolutely.
I don't think there's been that many smart people.
Well, here's the deal. Your argument is valid right now in this timeline, right where we're at right now in this point in time. But if you took the argument back and said millions of people at that time and made that argument, you would be arguing for flat Earth at that time. You would be saying all these people think the Earth is flat. All the religions in the world think the Earth is flat. It's written in the Bible that the Earth is flat and that we're in this firmament.
There's something massively different between millions of people making scientific calculations that confirm it and millions of people who read it in a fucking Bible.
Well, I'm saying if you're going off population belief and people witnessing it, if millions of people, that does sound like a high number of people, millions of people making the calculation.
You don't think in the history of science, a million people.
I think there are a million
have done various calculations.
I don't think so.
Looked at, yes,
not on this, no, because they weren't all astrologers,
but some of them were mathematicians and some of them were physicists and some of them
like
were
10, 20. Like I think maybe 100,000, maybe
like today.
No,
yes,
no,
yeah, there's many, absolutely.
There's not that many smart people,
absolutely.
And I don't trust anybody today,
absolutely.
I do not trust anybody today.
Here's the thing, all of the globe stuff came across the theory that the Earth was round and not flat, as it came across, they had zero way of disproving it for all that time. So the entire time, we didn't have a balloon. We didn't have a plane. When was the Wright brothers?
1890.
So at that point, we could fly a little bit off the fucking ground and maybe sort of see the horizon.
Maybe we should do a show on them.
Which brings you to why is the horizon always level with your eye? Like if you're in a plane above a curved object, the horizon should always be below you, and it's never. When a boat fucking sails away, it should drop below the horizon. We're going to keep trumping that with our atmospheric light refraction fucking thing. But you should see it drop below and the mass of the ship go down. You know what I mean?
There's it does.
Well, it's called, it's,
no, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Smaller.
No, it doesn't. It just gets smaller and goes away.
No, it doesn't.
Have a vanishing point. Your perspective into the point that you can't see.
It's a triangle.
There's a vanishing point.
So how they argue it, and this is you're looking down a hall, the floor goes up, the ceiling goes down, the walls go in, right? If somebody's walking down that hall, they'll lose their feet all the way up to their head. But if you zoomed in on it, they would still be there. You don't lose it. So you just can't see it. That's just how your eyes work.
That's the vanishing point based off.
And so this is the other
everything that I read is talking about the fact that it's the.
Did you see a boat do that though? Did you see a boat like mass like a fucking pirate ship? Just the flag? Like one
no.
of their
it doesn't matter if you zoom in on it.
If you zoom in on it though, you'll see the whole thing. So even if you it just went so far you can't see it anymore, it looks like it's gone. And that's how they say the sun does, right? So the sun.
No, because everything I said was talking about the fact that if you take high power telescopes and you watch a boat, you see the boat vanish down under
that's
the.
That's one of their primary. That's one of the flat earthers' primary arguments. So I don't know.
And that's the crazy thing.
One of the things, and I'll bring this. So I think it's, I don't know how many. I think there's ship captains that say at 220 kilometers out to sea, they can see the top of the steeple or something of Notre Dame, which is 400 something feet up. And it should be over a mile below the horizon at 220 kilometers out to sea, and they can see it through their telescope. So that's 5,280 feet. It should be out of their view, and it's not. They can see it from sea. So that's the opposite example. That's a boat looking in instead of you looking out at a boat. And ship captains use it as a fucking nautical point to say, that is Notre Dame. I can see it from here.
And then they'll tell you. So people.
Like lighthouse status.
Round earthers. I guess we can call them round earthers.
Sure.
They say that that's a mirage. That it's some sort of light reflection.
Atmospheric light refraction again, you know? Simulation theory. That's like, there's always going to be that argument.
It's crazy. Yeah, I don't know. So one of the things is the all the Illuminati symbols, the triangle, the eye, you know, all that stuff. So like I said, the hallway, how it gets small, the floor goes up, it creates a pyramid. Well, that's part of your eye seeing a pyramid, right? That's one of the symbols.
I saw some of that. That got as if I had a crazy box that you could get out of.
Yeah.
That got out of my crazy box. Yeah,
the G.
Symbolism,
you know,
I was like,
Yeah, there's a bunch of symbolism with the sun and the moon and all kinds of stuff. And
here's
then
the funny
Masons
thing, though,
with
there's
the G.
There's such a stigma against the flat earth thing of you to even question it. There are people that are like, yeah, the president's a fucking lizard, but the flat earth, you're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, at least I'm saying, oh, these are physics. These are tests. Things that you could probably the average person can get a laser and try to do something over distance and try to do
but here I mean here's the other thing, like I didn't go in depth doing research of the 1,000 experiments that have been conducted to prove where the sun is and to prove that we're on a sphere because they're innumerable.
Right.
And then we get one guy with one thing in a fucking river in England, and then that disproves all the rest of it. Like, I don't, if Google, sorry,
if Google was a man, have you seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But logically though, no,
it's fucking, it's exactly what he just said. There's a guy sitting a desk, and she's like, the Illuminati or whatever, this is, or the moon landing. He's like, look, we did, we went there, there's piles of files. Like, he's handing it to her. She's like, moon landing conspiracy. He's like, there's one page. He's like, here. She's like, I knew it, because you're like, you want to believe it, right?
I mean, you take that one bit of data and throw it in there, and there's so much data against this theory.
Not really. I mean, there's like, so much data for it too, though. That's what's crazy.
No, it so trumps the data for it.
I don't think I think if you're on board with people who are you, do you really believe what people are telling you? I think that's where the thing comes from. A lot of people, you know, do you want to trust the government? Do you want to trust NASA? Do you want to trust all these people telling you that's what that is?
It's also the social stigma that's attached to some subject like that. Like, there's finance paid research on the other side.
Yeah.
It'd be like fluoride or something, right? Like, you probably believe fluoride's bad for you, don't you? Come on, Dave. Don't you dare. I will stab you with this pen if you say fluoride's good for you.
It is good for you. A limited amount of fluoride is good for you.
Yeah, there's different types of fluoride.
It's an antidepressant. So we know, like, the story behind
fluoride,
that why it's put in the water to dumb you down and to fucking chill you out.
Fluoride's in the water naturally, Brent. You're getting a little crazy now.
What I'm trying to say,
the flat earth thing is understandable, but the fluoride, I can't get on board with
it. What I'm saying is, like, we know that fluoride's bad for you, but the more popular belief and the more research that's actually got scientifically written papers are going to be pro, right? Because that's on the side of the
winners,
of the financial
winners
benefit.
Write history.
Yeah, not for the people, right? Yeah.
No, but I'm not. I mean, the reason that there's a vast difference here is I'm talking about research that goes back to the fucking ancient Greeks. I'm talking about research that it wasn't financially beneficial for anyone. It wasn't, and it builds and it builds and it builds. And our entire model of mathematics and the cosmos and physics and everything is tied together to this. And if the earth is flat, all of the rest of it cannot congeal and make any sense.
Unless those things were made to support the other theory.
This is the other thing too, though. Like, if
tangle, it's a tangle web.
There's too many threads to try to tie together.
At some point though, at some point in history, not talking about if the earth's round or flat, but at some point in history, there has been a scientist that said, hey, everybody else is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then come to find out,
it's a lie to
everybody fucking else was
like
wrong.
If I go to the strip club and I got glitter on my fucking shirt, I'm like, I went to the craft store, and like, what's that white stuff on your pants? It's like Elmer's glue. I was at the craft store. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a tangled web. You just start following that shit up.
Yeah.
And then you start creating Jupiter. Before you know it, you got a planet, and that planet's big and it's spinning. And how come it's doing this? Because of gravity. And you start using the rules to make
There's just so many things that NASA themselves could clear up, like showing
us. But fuck NASA. The ancient fucking Mayans could figure this shit out based on the rules of physics and the laws of the solar system. They could see what the planets were and build their cities in alignment with certain things because of the
way
these planets are working.
They also thought jaguars lived in an underground river.
Yeah, I'm sure they did, but they didn't build fucking tombs that to this day you can see the fucking planet come through on that date. Because
you can see whatever that object is.
Yeah.
Did you see that was a planet?
If I buy a fucking telescope, I can see it.
No, you can see a black and white dot that could be a rear projection.
All you see is what NASA's giving
Dave.
You.
Look at your TV. Did you see a planet when you looked at Google or something on your screen?
So if I went and bought lenses and all the things I need to build a fucking telescope, and I built that telescope and I looked at a planet.
What if you aimed it at a giant TV in the distance and you saw a planet on it? I'm just scaling things. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you can't see it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stick with Occam's razor and say all that shit is fucking lunacy, and it makes a lot more sense for the fucking...
I think Occam's razor could say that we're fucking Sims in a fucking alien ant farm just as well as hurtling through space in an infinite fucking multiverse. That's pretty complicated, really, with all the fucking crazy laws of physics. Or we're some little simple video game simulation that some
aliens... But all the laws of physics, all the math, all the discoveries, they all prove the other ones.
It's all made up, though. That's why I said that earlier. That's what I said about Einstein and his you know relativity theory of relativity.
But it's been since created.
So look, you're dropped in an environment. You have to explain your environment. Well, the way to explain the things that are occurring around you is you have to figure it out. So you create mathematical equations that make that make sense. Yeah. But you made these things up based off the environment that you're in.
You didn't
so
make
obviously
the equations
they're
first.
Make sense. Yeah, yeah.
It's you didn't make sense. Yeah, you didn't make the equations first.
Because those equations were created to explain the things around you. So yes, they're going to make sense.
Yeah, that's a very good explanation that we said like a few times.
Are we done talking about this yet?
I don't know. Pretty good. There's no argument. Like it's crazy. It's crazy. And why and how is it flat with the way everything is, or it's crazy that it's fucking round. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
I'm not on board.
There's crazy things.
Like the earth could be round. I still don't think fucking NASA's been in space. Like I don't think they put anybody in space. I think it's all bullshit. And I think it's money and greed. And you know, whatever, like, I don't know if the earth is flat. Like, I don't think we'll ever know in our lifetime.
Guess what? I think the earth's round, but I love arguing with Dave this whole fucking time.
Don't try and fucking Shaquille O'Neal this, Brent. Don't fucking try. You knew way too much and I was being way too quiet this whole time.
No, so, I just, it's
Dave
just
gets the, heated though. It's so good to argue. Well, like, we don't get to debate like that. Cause usually it's not debatable.
Right.
Thing.
Right.
And Dave's like, no, it's 1940 fucking two. It says right here. And that's that, but it's rare.
And I have
that
to
we
say,
get an,
I
get an opportunity.
I
to
came in, I came into
something.
This with all my notes and my intention was to just argue the flat earth side and then argue the counters, and I just fucking couldn't. We got about 15 minutes into the show and I was like, oh my God, no, I can't fucking do it. But
you got more, yeah. You got something we didn't talk about?
I have a lunatic.
The forest. Tell me why I've never been in a forest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a guy, I read a couple of articles that both referred to the fact, and I didn't watch this whole thing because it's a fucking hour and 20 minutes long.
You're documentary lazy.
Well, and it's narrated by a Russian who doesn't speak very good English.
Yeah.
So it's kind of rough.
Sounds like a dream. You just drink vodka when you watch that.
It's just a lot of still shots with the camera panning in on him with a Russian talking over the top of it for an hour and 20 minutes. But his theory is that his biggest claim is the Devil's Tower, you know, the Devil's Tower, like the giant mesa that was in Close Encounters.
Yeah.
And he shows a bunch of still photos of giant trees that were cut down in the 1800s and shows how large they were because they were massive.
Right.
Right. And then he starts to show modern day trees and how small they are. And he argues that the Devil's Tower is the stump of a tree.
Ooh, like a petrified tree.
And that was what all trees used to be like. And that's what true flat earth forests were. But that something came and chopped them all down. And we have it's not that we don't see forests. It's that we shouldn't call them forests because these aren't trees. They're all shrubs.
Right. By definition.
And that even like giant sequoias aren't real trees. They're just babies because on the flat earth. And I don't know why it ties into flat earth. And one of the things he keeps saying in the video is, can you tell me 10 difference between Devil's Tower and tree stump? And he puts them both next to each other. No, you can tell me 2, not 10. And I'm like, oh, well, you got me there. Fucking, but.
But so who that says was he's wrong, though? Who says he's wrong? You know what I mean?
Geology. Everything.
No. See, there we go again.
The fact that the Devil's Tower is stone.
Everything was
not a petrified tree.
Everything was bigger in certain areas. Though. I mean, like fucking, you know.
Is that tree in Texas?
Yeah.
No, it's not in Texas. I think it's in Colorado.
It was in paleontological Texas.
Yeah.
That was a word right there.
I'll post the link for it if you want to watch a really long video.
Did you say something about an enchilada?
Mm-hmm. This is whiskey right here.
Yeah.
Aaron Brockovich.
Brockolotovich.
Rakolatovich. Enchiladovich. There you go.
Enchiladovich. Starts with a B, though.
And there was also a video I saw that I'll try to remember to post that was, and it was like a big deal. I kept reading this article and it was all it was a guy named Nathan Thompson, and he runs the official flat earth discussion page. Like he's the moderator for it. And like all this stuff was saying, like, you know, he confronts a NASA official and gets the better of him in his conversation. Right. And it's proof of flat earth. And I'm like, okay, let me check this out. This guy's going to fucking question some NASA dude and get fucking, you know. So what it turns out to be is him on his cell phone filming selfie video inside of a Starbucks. And he says, yeah, there's a guy here and he's wearing his NASA badge. And I confirmed that he worked for NASA. And I was talking to him and asking him why astronauts have a danger of drowning in their spacesuits.
I saw that
thing. And he couldn't really say. And now I'm going to ask him. And he keeps asking him. And then like all of a sudden out of nowhere, like the NASA guy's like, I don't really want to talk to you. And he's like, why do you hate all Americans? And the NASA guy's like, what did you just say to me? Like, he gets all fucking pissed off and he gets kicked out of Starbucks, this lunatic, and he's outside saying, so there it is. I confronted NASA. And it's like, no, there was a guy waiting for his fucking Frappuccino who works at NASA. You don't know what is crazy. He could be a fucking janitor. You accuse him of hating Americans.
The fucking gift shop guy.
But like,
he's all like, we sell flags in like, the gift shop.
All the fucking hype on all the headlines was, you know,
NASA says,
like, NASA gets ruined in debate about flat Earth. And it's like, no, he refuses to talk to you while he's waiting for his fucking cup in Starbucks.
That's funny. But,
yeah. I did see a thing where allegedly this guy went in on the premise that he was going to film a documentary about the astronauts and the moon landing and whatnot. But then when he actually sat down for the interviews, before the interview was conducted, he would try to get the astronauts to swear, put their hand on a Bible and swear.
He wouldn't do it.
And they allegedly, none of them would put their hand on the Bible and swear that they went to the moon. And that they sort of treated I think the word they used, they said they treated the Bible like it was plutonium or something. And their argument was that the Bible is like an image of faith for most Christians, most religious people. But for someone who actually knew that, like, oh, we're in a fucking dome, that might actually be a fucking scary thing to do. I'm not going to put my hand on that Bible and fucking swear on it and then tell because they know something we don't. They know that there's a giant fucking scary God wall around us and a fucking clear.
And plus everybody knows that lizard people's skin burns when they touch a Bible.
For sure. Yeah.
They could have put the astronaut glove on.
That's true.
He just carries an astronaut glove.
Yeah. Put it on, swear on the Bible.
Now I will
take it off
your Bible. Yeah. Let me blink my lizard eyes.
That's awesome.
So there's flat Earth. There you go, folks.
And there's a lot more. You have to do your own research.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Oh, God. Yeah, it never stops.
The rabbit hole.
I was like, let me watch this video an hour and a half long. And I was like, oh, what's this one? 2 hours long. What's this one?
Next
6 hours long. Yeah,
we'll do Hollow crazy. Earth. You know what?
Another one.
I do hate when you see those
there's
things.
Lava.
And you go to think it's like a really cool looking image for this video. And then it's like, hi, welcome to Alien Radio. We've got Doug Benson on here and he's the author of the book. Yeah. And you're like, ugh, it's like some shitty thing. And it's just a still shot of a fucking, like a solar system.
Web page or something. Yeah.
It's just, and he's on Skype, obviously. Yeah. He's like, hi there, Doug. Nice to do the show. You're like, what the fuck did he say thanks for 3 hours?
Me. Yeah. Thanks for having me here. Like, no, motherfucker, on the phone.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Next.
I don't know.
All right. We do have some patrons. I don't know if you guys are ready for that. I'm just going to do, we have six, so we just do one a piece.
Okay.
You want to do sponsors?
I'll
first?
Do sponsors to buy you some time. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. They are available in most major grocery stores. Congratulations again to Terry Presley on breaking a computer or sacrificing one in your picture. What did I do this week? I did have tacos at my buddy's house and I always try to be the guy that shows up with a full run of Yucateco and I was all sad. I had to bring like what was left in my cabinet because that's what I'm down to. I brought like some quarter bottles and shit. It was kind of ghetto.
Nobody's going to eat those.
No, they did. They ate them still. Yeah.
Yeah. Gross friends.
Little did they know. I put my tongue in that bottle.
Yeah. Gross friends.
You won't eat an open bottle of Tecno from my house?
I don't eat open bottle of nothing.
You got to open it in front of you?
Fresh.
Fresh.
All right. So thank you, El Yucateco. You can get on their website. They do have a gear store if you want to buy shirts and crazy stuff. Please participate in our Facebook activities for the Hot Sack. It benefits us. And also, you might get a t-shirt. I did send somebody last week got Yucateco flip-flops. I never sent any of those out before, but somebody seemed like their feet were small enough, so I sent them. Yeah. So
was his name?
Look out for that.
Terry Presley.
It wasn't Terry Presley.
They were too big for him.
Yeah, I heard rumors about him. You know what they say about his feet, man. He just showed me a picture of his wiener, so I assume his feet are huge. Thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. You can log into the website and order printed goods from letterhead to business cards to banners to stickers to fake tattoos. So you can use code SOFAKING to save some money doing that. Thank you to... who else we got? DeLeon Graphics. I had to fight it, so I didn't say the other one. Thank you to DeLeon Graphics. You can find them on Facebook. It's Graphics with an X. He does silk screening, t-shirts, koozies, all that good stuff. Hit them up if you need some help or need product like that. Thank you to Digital Creations for our mugs. Thank you to Dan Camrio Jiu-Jitsu. You can log into armhunter.com for apparel and instructional DVDs. And also don't forget that shirt is only, it's ending on the 9th.
So
the
special limited edition shirt. Get it this week or you will never get it, suckers.
Yep.
We're going to have a bunch of them ourselves.
I'm going to get three.
Just to embarrass everybody.
I'm going to get one, a tie-dye one.
Don't forget, go to the place that I hate the most, Facebook. And go to the SK Ultra unofficial fan page to join in on the conversation. If you didn't know, if you don't have a Facebook, quit being a bitch and get one just for that.
Right.
That way you can talk to like-minded people or people you might hate.
So, true.
Good stuff.
Pretty fun in there. Yeah. I know you guys don't do it as much, but I try to chime in a lot.
I go in there like everyone. I'll just start hitting a bunch of stuff.
I usually go in there about once a week. And when I do, it's just like great. Like, I don't know why I don't do it more often when I get
there. I know why for me, because it's like so-and-so tagged you in a comment. I'm like, okay. And it's like, hashtag fuck Brad. And I'm like, I just wasted like fucking 30 seconds of my life.
Also, so. I'll throw this out there. Chris Fields is hosting his own sporadic meetup in Bakersfield at Sandrini's restaurant on June 8th, which is right across from the studio. So if you hear this in time and you're close enough to Bakersfield that you want to do that, I'm across the street. I'm definitely going to try to make it over there and have a beer with him. I don't know what Brad and Dave's schedules are. It's Dave's birthday and he said he hates you guys. He's going to leave town.
Well, I was planning on leaving
hang out with his friends.
So I will either not be there at all. Or it'll be the extra bonus of the fact that it will be my birthday and I will be there.
We're going to make you drink. I've never seen Dave like get really fucking drunk.
He probably won't.
It's going to be spinning shit kicks.
He's too old for that.
Yeah. Nah.
We're getting too old.
Carry him up those stairs.
So yeah, that's not going to happen. So it's June 8th at what time?
I think he said noon. I think he said 12.
Noon.
So it's Sandrini's.
Yeah, I think
Is it Friday?
It's Thursday. It's a Thursday.
He's got to fucking work.
He's going to Iceland. You don't have to work. You'll be there.
No, I have to work.
Tell him that you're taking lunch. It's 12 o'clock.
Okay, whatever.
Brad hates you guys too. So you could try to make that. So patrons.
Our patrons. Mine isn't. Did you guys have any Tree of Trust stuff? Or mine was just I found out some stuff about
mine too.
One of
our patrons. I just talked
and
to
it
him.
Was actually really cool. So want to thank her for her support, Jennifer Cunningham. She's one of our newest patrons, and I was looking into her. I did some Google searches on her, and apparently, like, there was this crazy thing. Like, her family had some stuff happen where they actually and a film crew actually like started to follow their family, like because of some events that happened. And I guess her brother met like a I don't know. I don't want to use the term if it's insulting, but a greaser. Right. Like a guy, like leather jacket, slick back hair, rides a motorcycle.
Like up your nose with a rubber hose, Susie.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that one.
So her brother, Richie, met this greaser named Arthur. And he was like a real badass, but he had like a heart of gold. And like his father ended up letting him live in like an apartment above the garage. And their whole family had this weird thing and they ended up meeting, like they met his on and off girlfriend, this girl named Pinky. And like the whole, like they filmed all
Heart of Gold is the highlight like,
They filmed all of it. So yeah, it was Joni Cunningham and her brother, Richie Cunningham.
I see what's happening here. I bet they had some, like they probably had a lot of happy days.
They did have a lot of happy days. That was actually the name of the documentary that was filmed with her. So I thought that was really interesting. So yeah, Arthur Fonzarelli was there. it was crazy. Like I didn't know.
Was there a jukebox? A motorcycle with a really shitty jump?
You know what that might... I don't think that was her. Her name was Joni Cunningham, and this is Jennifer Cunningham.
Oh, yeah. Shit. You fucked
fuck. Up. I don't. Okay. I don't know anything about Jennifer Cunningham, but thanks for the Patreon support.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey.
That scared the fuck out of me for some reason.
Oh, I have.
Not going to work here anymore.
Nicanor.
Not going to work here. Yeah.
Nicanor. Nicanor.
Go ahead.
There's I don't know. Is that, that. Did you write, is that a G?
What are we seeing? Yeah.
Nigga,
you set me up.
I did write that. I did give that to you on purpose because I thought you would have fun.
Nicanor,
yeah, Nigger Nose Perez.
There you go.
That's
Richard. So,
if this is your first time listening to the show, Dave is a black man.
Yeah, and if I'm racist, everybody thinks so. Yeah, hanging out with black guys, and I'm the racist one.
Brad only hates Koreans, so it's okay.
Asians, just any Asian.
Yeah.
Knickerbocker Perez actually was a minor league baseball player. Came here from the Dominican Republic.
Knickerbocker.
And yeah, his father was
Dietrich Knickerbocker.
Niger Bocker. I don't know how you say that, but yeah, so he came here from the Dominican Republic when he was about 12 years old. He swam the entire distance.
Wow.
Yeah, so when he got here, his arms were really strong.
I bet.
And he kept developing that strength. He became a pitcher. But now he's in the AAA ball, and he gets paid, I think he said $150 a week. He's doing really well. He sends that money back to his family.
That's good.
Yeah, so he's done really well. Sad thing was, though, that he got hit by a real pitcher when he was batting, and it actually...
It was a pitcher of beer, though. Someone threw it from the audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Did it turn him into a belly itcher?
I think it did.
Fuck. That's the worst case scenario. Yeah. That's the worst case scenario, because we need a pitcher, not a belly.
Yeah, that's true. And so, so now he's done. So I think he said he was going to move back to the Dominican Republic.
Fuck, that sucks, dude.
But
there is a big belly itching trade in the Dominican Republic,
the
though.
The problem was, though, that he didn't have the money, so he has to swim back. So I don't know.
Maybe he'll get his glow back on the swim.
Maybe the salt water will help with his itchy belly. Yeah.
his back. Yeah. Hopefully he doesn't get his back wet.
But, no.
He might make it. So thank you, Nicanor.
It's really Nicanor, huh?
Nicanor. You wrote it.
Sounds like a fucking elven province in the lands of Nicanor.
All right.
Anyway.
So I talked to Gabriel Zero, which he's either a hacker or he's a character in Mortal Kombat. I'm not sure. But you think I'm crazy conspiracy theorist. This fucking guy
is an idiot.
Lizard people crazy. Like he actually had an opportunity. He tried out for Ancient Aliens, but he's such a crazy conspiracy theorist that he doesn't even trust himself. He questions his own motives.
Yeah. As soon as he comes up with a theory, like he's like,
wait a minute.
You're lying to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're doing here, Zero.
Yeah.
You got zero evidence, Zero.
Yeah. He gets stuck in front of the bathroom sink because he doesn't know whether to brush his teeth or not. Cause he's like, fluoride, deception. Yeah. No, yes, no, yes. Dirty teeth. My breath stinks. Yeah. They're trying to dumb me down. And he just,
wait
gets
a minute.
Stuck.
It's good.
Yeah.
Healthy teeth. Wait a minute.
Can't do it. Yeah. It's good for me. It's bad for me. It's
a hard life.
Yeah, it's a thing. Like, he has to take medication for it. There's a new diagnosis for I don't know. I can't think of a word right now. That's a conspiracy. It's affecting me. It's the fluoride.
Yeah, actually, he has AIDS.
Yeah. He has AIDS. They assist him on a daily basis.
He's actually got three AIDS.
He works in politics. He has three AIDS. Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right.
Crazy fuck.
That's all I got.
Oh,
is that it? Okay. All right. Well. That's it. So research flat earth and don't be a retard.
We get a weakness. You gotta see this. Yeah. Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances. Vanessa nigga with some counterfeits, but now I'm counting this. Parmesan where my accountant lives. In fact, I'm down in this. You say with my boobie tastes like Kool-Aid for the analyst. Girl, I can buy your Westie world with my base stuff. Ooh, that pussy good. Won't you sit it on my taste buds? I get way too petty once you let me do the extras. Pull up on your block, then break it down. We playing Tetris. AM to the PM, PM to the AM funk. Piss out your per diem, you just gotta hate them funk. If I quit your BM, I still rock Mercedes funk. If I quit this season, I still be the greatest funk. My left stroke just went viral. Right stroke, pull a baby in a spiral. Soprano C, we like to keep it on the high note. It's levels to it, you and I know. Bitch, be humble.
Hold up, bitch.
Sit down.
Hold up,
be humble.
Bitch. Hold up, bitch.
Sit down.
Be humble.
Bitch, sit down.
Be
humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble.
Sit down.
Bitch, sit down.
Be
humble. Sit down. Who that nigga thinking that he frontin' on that man? Get the fuck off my stage, I'm the Sandman. Get the fuck off my dick, that ain't right. I make a play fucking up your whole life. I'm so fucking sick and tired of the Photoshop. Show me something natural like Afro on Richard Pryor. Show me something natural like ass with some stretch marks. Still a take you down right on your mama couch in polo sock. shit way too crazy, ay. You do not amaze me, ay. I blew cool from AC, ay. Obama just paged me, ay. I don't fabricate it, ay. Most of y'all be faking, ay. I stay modest about it, ay. She elaborated, ay. This that great poop on that AV on that TED talk, ay. Watch my soul speak, you let the meds talk, ay. If I kill a nigga, it won't be the alcohol, ay. I'm the realest nigga after all, bitch. Be humble. Hold up, bitch. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Bitch, sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Bitch, sit down. Be humble. Sit down.